taking very long today. But I will say, because half the congregation is gone, I have to speak twice as long. Oh, half as long. Oh, okay, half as long. All right, so what's that? That's right. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus. I was going to start in Genesis, but you guys wanted me to hurry up. Memorials are a place to revisit for our sake. They are a place for others to see our honor. I want you to understand that this morning. They are a place for us to visit for our sake. My father is buried in the Saint Something or Other Funeral Cemetery. I can't remember the name now. In Massachusetts. St. Anthony's. Probably. Well, he's still there. I just don't know the name of the cemetery. But you know, the headstone that we bought him for him and in honor of him was very simple. And I remember after they removed the placard that was there to put the actual stone in, I was there that day. And I thought to myself, he doesn't care. And it's absolutely true. Do you think the departed care about the headstone? Do you think they even know about the headstone? I think they assume there's going to be one. I'm sure they're not offended by the what's on it, the wrong size, you know. I don't think it matters to them. Who does the headstone matter to? Us. Why would I go to a cemetery? Does my father get any benefit from my visit to a cemetery? No. Does your grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle get any extra loving from you when you go to a cemetery to see their stone? Who is the visit really for? You. And what happens to you when you make that effort to go? Just think about it for a minute. Now, I've told you this before. Every time we go to Massachusetts, we try to make an effort to get out to the cemetery and see and visit. Maybe we take my mother, because no one ever takes my mother to the cemetery. It's pitiful. But we'll go to the I know where they are. You pull in that first driveway over to the left. There's Jesus carrying a cross. All my aunts and uncles and my grandparents on my father's side are over there. Then you go down to the end, to the fence, you take a right, you go all the way down to St. Anne Road, and take a right, and you go up, and my father's somewhere in there. Then you take a left down there, and you go down a ways, two, three roads, and my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side are down there. Way at the other end of the cemetery is my cousin, and so on and so forth. They're all there. All the stones are there, and the remains are there. And each time we've gone, we've tried to bring with us the little hand-snipping tool to clear away the grass, some rags. There's a little spigot of water. You try to wash the headstone off. There's times when we've gone, it looks like no one's been there for ages. My grandmother's was grown over it. All you could see was her name. And I thought, you know, why does no one go to these places. I think it's because people lack honor. Because really, that is the great virtue that you would find in people who revisit memorials. You'll find honor in those people. Now, sometimes you'll find sorrow. Sometimes there's a misplaced expectation that you will go there and something magical will happen to you. I know there are times when I will go up to Pastor Tim's site up north, and I've gone there, and you know, just because I know his family is going there, sons, a daughter-in-law, and Kathy, I will usually leave something there at the site for them to realize that either I've been there or someone's been there. Like, periodically I will leave a fishing lure hanging off their little wind thing that they got there. I've done that. I've put golf balls all along his area and teed up golf balls and things like that. Because I know the family is going there, and I remember Tim as being a lot of fun. And so that's what I'm doing at that site. See, I think memorials and gravesides especially are a place for us to remember, a place for us to take away something from those visits. How many understand that? God uses memorials throughout the Bible and tells God's people to set them up to remember certain things because we will forget them. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God, your fathers, the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial to all generations.'" What is his memorial to all generations? It's his name. The very name of God is a memorial to all generations. And how many of you, when you hear the words, "I am," don't you think about God speaking to Moses when you hear those two words together? How many, when you hear "I am," doesn't it take you back to that time where God delivered Israel from the grip of the Egyptians in that incredible land where they were enslaved for 430 some odd years? God sent a deliverer, and his name was Moses. "I am," he said, "is a memorial. Not I was, and not anymore. Not I'm going to be. Hang in there. I'm gonna come around. I'll be there for you when you need me. I was there when you needed me." No, neither one of those. "I am, right now. I am the very eternal," and I've heard it called the eternal is of God. The eternal is. God eternally is. He is present always in every moment, from moment to moment to moment. And he wants us to remember that, and so he chose this name, "I am." Yahweh, Elohim, this covenant language, the character of the glory of God, that his glory is present with them. And as a matter of fact, who remembers what they saw at night when they traveled? They saw a pillar of fire. And what did they see during the day? A cloud. And they followed it. And whenever the cloud moved, Israel was to move. And whenever the pillar of fire moved, Israel was to move. So imagine you're in one of your, tents, and you hear a commotion. "Hey, the cloud's moving, the cloud's moving." And you come out of your tent. "What's going on? The cloud's moving, got to go." "Oh, I don't want to move again. We just got here. I got to pack all this stuff up and move again. Listen, you guys go ahead, I'll catch up." The eternal is of God means we are, not only is he ready right now in every moment, but we ought to be ready right now in every moment to obey him. The I is. The I am. Psalm 135. Verse 13 says, "Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your name, O Lord, throughout all generations." Here we are some 4,000 years later, and we're talking about this trip that Egypt, that Israel made out of Egypt, led by this man Moses and led by this God who called himself I Am. Pretty incredible. We tend to be very forgetful, though, as Israel was. And throughout their journey, they had forgotten. Well, they forgot two things. A, they forgot how lousy it was in Egypt. And B, they forgot how faithful God was to get them out of there. They kept forgetting two things. I want you to remember two things this morning. I want you to remember how lousy it was without Christ. And I want you to remember how good he's been to you. Because that's what I think God wants us to remember through that story. The memorial of his name, I Am. Israel kept saying, we should have stayed in Egypt. This wilderness walk is brutal. At least we had leeks and onions, you know, down by the Nile. You know. Listen, I like salad, but it ain't going to make me not want to move. Keep moving, right? Leeks and onions. What's that? Yeah, well, they call leeks and onions in the original language. Leeks, who knows, chives, who knows what they had. They had some onion-like substance. And so they're like, who knows, we want to go back. At least we had salad back there. They were slaves back there. You know, we should have gone back there. It was so nice sitting by the Nile, eating our salad. Well, wait a minute. You were slaves in Egypt. They beat you there. You were a slave. You had no choices. You had no options. You had no freedom. Anybody willing to give up their freedom for convenience will end up with neither. If you're willing to give up your freedom for convenience, you'll end up with neither freedom or convenience. You'll end up being just an uncomfortable slave to whatever it is that plans to dominate you. You'll be dominated by it. Another one of the memorials of the Bible found in Exodus is the Exodus 12:14 passage. Exodus 12:14. And of course, you remember the story of the Passover. This is when God tells Israel to put the blood on their doorpost and the death angel during the plague time would pass over them and not take their firstborn. It says in verse 14 of chapter 12, "So this day shall be to you as a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You will keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." God literally told Israel that they wanted, you need to have this meal every year and remember what happened here. A feast every year to remember what happened at Passover. The provision of the blood, the provision of God's mercy, the provision of God's choice, that God had chose Israel and wanted them to remember. See, we keep forgetting things. Israel needed to remember that God was merciful to them. They needed to remember the blood. See, they forgot things. They forget how bad things were when they weren't with God, and then they forget how good things are when they are with God. It's amazing. People forget how bad things were before they found the body of Christ. I was just thinking about this the other day. I remember a time when I was in the Air Force when I was so indescribably lonely. I was surrounded by people They all wanted something from me, or I wanted something from them. There was no real peace in any of the interactions I had with people. Everything was about either a party or about some kind of conflict. There was never any real intimacy. There was never any real truth being exchanged with the people that I was with. I was profoundly out of place because I was a child of God since age 16. I joined the Air Force. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and these people do not know God, and I am completely and totally alone, even though surrounded by people. They didn't understand my values. They didn't care about my values to the point where even if they knew I had a value, they would ignore it around me to try to get me to compromise that value. Those were not friends. Amen? Those were not friends. No friend will ask you to compromise a value. Never. No friend will take you to a place where one of your values will be in danger of dying. They will never make that request of you. No real friend will ever do that to you. That's why no real love between a man and a woman exists when a man tries to pressure a woman to do certain things or vice versa. That's not real love. That's selfishness. But people forget the beauty of the body of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, meaning his people, the congregation. They forget how lonely they were. Then they come in the midst of the congregation and they think, oh, I really don't want to be around, take it or leave it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait a minute. Did you forget what your life was like before you found God's people gathered? Did you forget that? Did you forget how lonely you were? Did you forget the compromise? Did you forget that the people around you and their values were terrible and they were corrupt? And that even though you loved them, there was nothing there? Don't you remember that? How many of you remember that? Put your hand up nice and high. Don't you remember that? You say, oh, but I like these people. They're fun to be around. You know what? But be very careful. Because the Bible says that there's no fellowship between darkness and light. And I'll tell you, when the Christian goes into the darkness with his friends, he'll become darkness. And that darkness will be incredibly great and incredibly powerful. And that believer doesn't stand a chance. That's why we're formed in a family. We're born in a body. We're given in a gathering. We're formed in a family. And that family is meaningful. There's leadership. There's love. There's intimacy. There's exchange. There's rejoicing when people rejoice and weeping when people weep. I can tell you this. When I was around certain people before I found the body of Christ, they didn't care if somebody else was genuinely hurt, and they didn't rejoice when someone else rejoiced. It was very, very, very conditional on how it benefited them directly or indirectly. So people forget the body of Christ. They forget how incredible it is to be part of the family of God, and they take it or leave it. And then once they're there, they forget what it was like to be in the world. Here's one. I'm gonna skip some of these, but I want to just take you to a couple of the ones that I'm thinking would be interesting today. Numbers chapter 16. Had a very good friend of mine recently had a penalty that he was dealing with for many years and recently overcame it. And it reminded me of a time when I owed the IRS $48,000 back taxes through the business. I had some terrible bad planning or lack of planning and ended up the 941 taxes we got in arrears. And by the time we had the penalties and interest charged, it was over $40,000. And I remember when we finally paid that off, the feeling of finally paying that off. And you know what I remember from that day? I remember the day I said to myself, I will never, ever, ever, ever make that mistake again. And every year when taxes come up, I'm a nervous wreck. Because I never, ever, ever want to be in a position like that again. And for those who have made either financial mistakes or personal mistakes where you've had a penalty or you've had to pay over time for something, you probably would say amen nice and loud. I will never make that mistake again. So here's Numbers chapter 16, and we read about the Korah rebellion. This Korah's censors, and these people gather together against Moses and Aaron, and they say, you take too much upon yourselves, verse 3, all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Then why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Here's these guys accusing Moses and Aaron of exalting themselves when God is the one who placed them in authority. So to make a long story short, God decides he's just going to open up the earth and swallow them. Well. And then he says, this is going to be a memorial. I want you to remember this. And the memorial is the memorial to pick up the censers in verse 37, the censers of the men who sinned against their own souls, and let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar. So this, the censers of these men that rebelled against Moses were pounded into gold plating for the altar. Isn't that interesting? That God would use that on the altar to remind them every time they looked at the altar, I want you to remember something. You remember those men who rose up against God's people, who rose up against God's leadership. You remember that. And don't you forget it. You know, don't you forget the bad things. You say, well, I'm having wonderful, fun memories. You know, do you think we ought to forget what Nazi Germany did in World War II? Should we just, it's such a terrible thought. Should we just put that out of our mind and just forget it and never remember it again? That's why we have history. That's why we learn history. That's why we learn. You know what? Those who don't understand history are bound to repeat it, right? I don't want to repeat the same things in my personal history that were bad before, and I remember what they were. See, it's important that you don't forget the things that got you into trouble to begin with. That you don't forget the things that led to mistakes to begin with. Don't forget them. God says to these, to the leaders, to take this gold from the censers and pound it and use it to remember. In Joshua chapter 3, they're going to cross the Jordan. And God tells Joshua to make a memorial at this crossing. Because it's a place they'd never been before, and they had to take the altar and pass over this area of the Jordan, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. And take these rocks and make a giant pile of rocks. And that pile of rocks became a memorial. This is where we passed. This is where we went into a new chapter. This was a starting place for our lives. You have a memorial. How many of you have a wedding album? It's a memorial. It's a starting place. It's a brand new place. Did you get your pictures back yet? Oh, can't wait to see it. It's a memorial. It's a starting place. A brand new place. You know? It's a brand new place. Do you realize, and this is something I was just thinking about, I don't know of another church that has built a memorial garden for its past leaders. Do you? Can't name one. Now, some churches have beautiful portraits done, and they're in their churches. And you can see this guy was the pastor between, 1910 and 1914 or whatever, until they threw him out. And then this guy was in there from 15 to 25, and then he died. And I remember this man was walking through this area, all the pictures on the wall, and the man said, his son said, "Dad, who's that?" And the man said, "That was the pastor in 1950. He died in the service of the Lord." And the boy said, "What service? The morning service or the afternoon service?" But So the memorial garden is a place for us to go and remember. You know, it's a why? Because we don't want to forget. You know, we don't want to forget any of it. Well, maybe some of it, but we don't want to forget all of it, right? We don't want to forget the men and women who make a difference in our life. And I hope when you go out there to the memorial garden and you look at the plaques and you see Pastor Kirky and you see Pastor Wood and Lee, that when you stand there, you also remember the people that led you to Christ. And you also remember the folks that have had an impact on your life. And I've given you names of people that have made an impact on my life, and I've done so to honor them. And when we get to heaven, hopefully when Daphne walks up to you, or Chris and Clark walk up to you, they'll say, "Hi, I'm Chris." I know who you are. You know, maybe some of you will run into Pastor Chaplain Spearman up there, and you say, "Hey, I remember. I know who you are. I heard your name. I want to know the names of people who led you to Christ." You ought to tell us about those folks. You ought to let people know who led you to Christ. I saw a woman in the cafe the other day, and I said, "Hey, Debbie Alger was visiting. She said she was going to come to see you." And the woman said to me, "Yeah, whenever Debbie comes, she comes and visits me. She led me to Christ." Jay Regal. "She led me to Christ." I thought, isn't that amazing that that's the reference place that she has for Debbie Alger? She led me to Christ. See, that is a memorial. Who led you to Christ? Who brought you to the faith? Who encouraged you to make good decisions? See, those are people that you need to remember and kind of memorialize. Because that'll keep you from making the bad decisions, and it will help you to make better decisions than you've ever made. The day like today, I think we need to do exactly what Memorial Day is all about. I think we ought to think about the people who gave their life on battlefields all over the world. And battlefields right here in New York. There were battles right here in New York. Right here. There are battles all over the place. There were people in Grenada who died. There were folks who fought all over, all in various parts of the world. Some battlefields you'd never even heard of. I was listening to my wife talking to Paul and David this week about World War I and some of the battles of World War I. And what happened in World War I. How it started with the death of Ferdinand. And, you know, the assassination of Ferdinand. The whole thing just blew up. It's like, wow, we need to remember that so we don't repeat, try not to repeat the same thing. At the same time, do you remember the buildup of the military in the 80s under Ronald Reagan? And do you remember how the Soviet Union had to fold because of our strength? We didn't fire a shot, but it folded. See, we ought to remember that too. See, but we also ought to remember people that there were many, many of them. World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War, who sacrificed their lives. They went willingly and for their friends, compatriots, and for their nation, gave their life for us. Pretty incredible stuff. One last memorial. I have eight. We're just going to cover four of them. One last memorial is in Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry, it's not 2. I think it's 22. Yeah, 22. verse 19. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Boy, we forget so easy. His broken body, his blood, the nails, the thorn. We think about it often. You know, we took a little bit of heat when we first put a cross up in our church. I remember I had the guys, we found some old wood beams. I don't even remember where we got them from. Do you remember where we got the beams from? Got some old wood beams, and a couple of the men assembled the cross. And they said when they were nailing the cross together, they could not do it. They got to the point where we had, and it's actually the cross out in the garden out front. That's the cross. You all seen that? They went and they took the nails, and they were nailing them in right there. And they said they kept stopping. They would hit it, and they'd stop, and they'd look at each other, and they'd stop, and they'd look at each other, and they'd stop. And it was a very emotional thing for them. You know why? Because it was meaningful. That's a memorial that Christ took so much for us. And it did so much on that cross for us. We deserved to die. We deserve that. Why do we forget that? Why do we keep forgetting what we deserved? Oh, I deserve to be treated with respect. I deserve to be, you know, a raise. Or I deserve that. Wait a minute. What do you really deserve? That. And I think if I understand that that's what I deserve, but God has given me breath, God has given me a family, God has given me salvation, God has given me eternal life, before He does anything else, He's done all that already. What do I really deserve? Nothing. I think you have to remember that. I think we have to learn to remember that. Amen? We have to remember that. Because if we don't, that's when we have conflicts. That's when we have conflicts. And when we don't remember that, we begin to treat people very badly. You know, if I realize that I deserve that, I'm going to be kind to other people that deserve that too. See? Don't forget these things. Memorial Day is a day to remember. Memorial Day is a day, yes. This weekend, the world, the United States will remember its fallen soldiers. I want us also to remember our fallen soldiers. Those that fell, starting with Jesus Christ, along with the many other martyrs of the centuries, and many martyrs even in the last couple years, and even as early as last week, believers all over the world still being martyred, still paying for Christianity with their blood in certain Muslim nations and certain places all over the world. Still dying. You never hear about it. The news doesn't cover it. More Christians have died in the last 20 years due to persecution than the entire Nazi regime killed off people in World War II. It's in the millions. You don't hear it. You don't hear about it. You won't, because it's not politically correct to talk about Christianity that way. Well, we remember it today. And with their faith, with their perseverance and fortitude, we have inspiration. And may that inspiration take us to places right in our own community to talk about Christ, to reflect Jesus Christ, and to live our lives in such a way that we have honor and we remember people honorably, and we remember the work of God honorably and all the things God's done in your life. Hey, do you remember when God came through in your marriage? Do you remember when God came through in your finances? Do you remember when God came through with forgiveness? Do you remember when God picked you up when you fell down? Do you remember when God brought you people in your life just when you needed them? Do you remember all those things? How many remember all those things? Do you remember when it happened? Do you remember when you learned that truth right when you needed it? Do you remember when the Bible, you learned something from the Bible right at a time in your life when you needed it? Do you remember when you sat on a message and you heard exactly what you needed to hear? Do you remember that? Do you remember when God gave you and poured out his life? Do you remember every good and perfect gift comes from God above, who is the Father of lights and whom is no shadow of turning, in James chapter 1, verse 17? Do you remember that? Well, remember that too. Remember those things. Remember how faithful God is. So yeah, remember how what we deserve, sure, but also remember how faithful God is. And don't forget. Heavenly Father, bless this time, we pray. Thank you for the Word of God and for a Memorial Day. We ask you to help us to remember. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You know, Joe's going to cook. Maybe the food's probably not ready yet. Relax. Take your time. Have a little snack. Sit. Enjoy each other's company. Please don't rush off. Okay? We love you. It'd be great to spend some time with you today.